We are getting ready for another weekend of Maine football. The Black Bears taking on Villanova, a big CAA conference game tomorrow. And it's a confusing time to try and figure out what's going on in the FCS football ranks with this shortened season, a reduced playoff field. And to give us some clarity, we're happy to welcome into the program from Stats Perform FCS. He's the guy who knows everything about FCS football, Craig Haley. We knew this spring season was going to be a little bit unusual. And looking back, maybe we should have known what it was going to be like when North Dakota State lost that early game to Southern Illinois.
No doubt. I mean, I think the difference this spring is teams in the top 10 are vulnerable. They're playing close games. They're sometimes getting upset. As you mentioned, North Dakota State was blown out at Southern Illinois. Usually it's like teams from, you know, 15 to like even outside the top 25, 15 to 35. They're all similar. They're all knocking each other off. But this spring, we jumped right into conference play, and everybody's knocking each other off.
Now, JMU is the number one team in the country again this week, but they've also lost a couple more games, at least for the time being. They're 4-0, but two of those wins are against Morehead State and Robert Morris. What will the selection committee do, and what's the CAA? Do they have a minimum number of conference games? Because if they're unable to make up those next two games, JMU would only have two conference wins.
Well, to be the automatic qualifier, the committee leaves it up to the conferences. So if everything went haywire and teams only played one conference game, as long as the conference says, hey, this is our automatic qualifier, that's good with the NCAA. So that's not a problem. Obviously, you want to have, at-large teams getting to, like, four games is what they're looking for as a threshold for at-large. But, I don't think the CAA has any problems with that, the AQ. It's more how many games does everybody get in, and, you know, do they take just one at-large team? Do they take two? I mean, two, I think, would be the maximum, but losing all these games certainly hurts, especially with the North Division, you know, capable of just knocking each other off and maybe not everybody having a dominating record. That may not be the case outside Delaware, say. But again, I mean, I think it's definitely a league that'll have two or three teams for sure. But no, it's not going as planned in the CAA, but it's also happening elsewhere.
So am I right that because of the 16-team field, there will only be six at-large bids?
Yes. It's been assumed it would be six because the MEAC was given one, but then the MEAC decided not to have a league schedule. Too many teams opted out. There's been a concern in the last day that maybe they're still getting an at-large bid. They're still getting an automatic qualifier, which would be crazy. Those teams have barely played at all, the three teams that are trying to play in the MEAC. So it's five or six. Still has to be determined, but I can't imagine too many people are in favor of the MEAC getting an automatic qualifier at this point.
Are there maybe two conferences that could see a couple or perhaps three teams get in? Obviously the CAA, maybe the Missouri Valley, well, probably the Missouri Valley.
Yes. To me, there's only about six conferences that are in the mix for multiple bids. The strongest being this year, the Missouri Valley. I think they're going to have three teams, two of them at large. The CAA is in the mix for three. The Big Sky is a little down because of the loss of Montana and Montana State opting out of the league schedule. That's the other, third power conference. But, the Stoutland should have two teams. You know, the Ohio Valley and the SoCon are in the mix, and maybe the Big South. The SoCon, if VMI wins this weekend, they're just going to have one from that league because Chattanooga has opted out, and there would be no other team, really. So there are only, half a dozen leagues, but really it's the Missouri Valley and the CAA that have the best chance, I believe, for three. The third best chance would be the Big Sky.
We're talking with Craig Haley here on Downtown. You mentioned VMI, and they're one of the great stories of this spring season, finding themselves in the top 10 for the first time in forever, if ever.
You're right. I mean, they've moved to the FCS level in 1982. They hadn't been ranked ever on the FCS level until 3 weeks ago. And they've really skyrocketed up the rankings. They're up to number 10, and they're 5-0. They know how to win close games, and they're beating the better teams on their schedule. It's been a great story. I mean, their quarterback has rewritten the record book, Reese Udinski, but now he has an ACL tear. And last week, the number two quarterback steps in, Seth Morgan, and just really dominates in his first start. And yes, they're a great story. I mean, they started to take strides 2 years ago, 2019, are now just off to their best start in 4 years.
And some great games this year as well. One of the best last week. What a wild ending to that Weber State game.
It just shows you in conference play that nobody's scared of each other. They're used to playing each other. So, yes, I mean, it was a nail-biter for Weber, who's number three ranked. And it took a Hail Mary 50-yard pass from the number two quarterback to pull it out. So, it just shows you the great games we've had all spring. We had a lot of terrific games in the fall, the teams that played, like the FCS playing FCS teams. Those type of matchups were all, the majority of them were close. It's been a terrific year. It's been a strange year, of course. But yes, head-to-head's been outstanding on the FCS level.
And obviously teams are playing for a championship this spring, but do you think that it's in the back of the mind of some coaches, some programs, that this is in many ways an extended spring football season and really they're preparing for next fall?
In many ways it is, Rich. I mean, a school like a VMI, no, they're saying, hey, this is, our big opportunity. But a lot of schools, yes, especially if you already know you're not going to the playoffs, maybe you've had some cases of COVID and players, missing games. So at the same time, another issue that's going on is, players could be playing up to 20, 25 games in this calendar year because of the spring and fall seasons. So, yes, the health and safety has been a big issue. Hopefully you're not overtaxing players in the practice week, and I'm sure, schools aren't. They had a plan going in knowing that there would be so many games. So I think it's a little wide-ranging. If you're having problems with COVID, yes, it really kind of takes a lot of the life out of the season. If things are going well, hey, maybe you have a little momentum and enthusiasm. The end is in sight here, mid-May. Now we're into April, so it's just a little wide-ranging kind of season.
You're also very busy right now getting ready to put together the end-of-season individual awards. Who are some of the contenders for the Walter Payton Award this spring?
Well, it's really kind of a crazy year because we usually have out – watch lists but the teams have there's no competitive equity this year. And when I say that, I mean, one team has played six games. One team has played two. Monmouth just started their season last week. So really the list is just coming together. I mean, we'll actually be voting within 3 weeks. Players stand out. I mean, somebody like a Cameron Ward, the Incarnate Word quarterback. He's a freshman, just like Trey Lance was 2 years ago, and he's been dominating. 20 touchdowns, I believe it is, he's thrown in four games. But it really will kind of shake itself out in the next few weeks. But players from the fall that they're in the mix as well. So it we don't have the definitive list yet, but we will in the near future.
It's going to be interesting, I think, especially looking at the Jerry Rice Award candidates, because this freshman class has had the opportunity, really the best opportunity any freshman have ever had to prepare for their season.
It's true. You're right. I mean, and that just shows you somebody like a Cameron Ward, the quarterback I just mentioned from Incarnate Word. I mean, he's just stepped in from day one and dominated. I think he's a heavy favorite for the Rice Award, the Freshman of the Year. Walter Payton's a little more wide open, I think, and the Buck Buchanan for Defensive Player. But yes, I mean, freshmen are really getting a lot of experience, from the start, which is great to see. And you really need deep rosters this year because you don't want to overtax players physically.
Craig, what's the biggest game to keep an eye on this weekend?
Well, you would have said Richmond and James Madison, of course. Unfortunately, that's been postponed. I mean, there's several. I think Eastern Washington at UC Davis are just two powerful teams. UC Davis might even be underranked. They're 11th and hosting Eastern Washington 9th. It's a playoff rematch from 2018. I think that's maybe takes precedent now. I mean, the spotlight that is VMI. They could win the South SoCon bid and be the surprise story. I mean, another great storyline is San Diego's going for their 40th straight league win in the Pioneer League, which would be a new record. They're currently tied for the longest league winning streak in FCS history with Duquesne years ago in the MAC. But they're hosting a Davidson team that's actually in first place in the Pioneer League. So that's a really fun scenario. So there's always good matchups, even as we lose games to COVID, because we're in conference play from the start.
And I feel like this Maine-Villanova game tomorrow is a game that will determine somebody's fate, because the loser of that game likely out of the playoff picture with the second loss.
You're exactly right, Rich. I mean, I think there were so many candidates for a playoff spot going into the year, and then suddenly out of the CA, and suddenly Rhode Island came out like gangbusters and threw everything for out of whack, where there were no easy games in the North Division. So, yes, this is a playoff elimination game, as you mentioned, and a terrific matchup between two good teams.
Well, Craig, everybody at FCS applauds the work that you're doing. I feel like you're the guy stretching out his arms to pull everything together and keep us up to date on what's happening in FCS with the poll, with the awards. So thanks so much for all the work you do in this most interesting of spring seasons.
Thank you, Rich. And it's true. You just have to stay patient and then realize the sun will come up the next day, even as we get games postponed. But thank you.
All right. Thanks, Craig. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.